Today is United States v. Burks. Mr. Soledad.
Good morning. May it please the Court. The issue that I would like to focus on this morning is the District Court's decision not to give a non-guideline sentence to my client based on coercion or duress under Section 5K2.12 of the Guidelines. At the sentencing hearing, my client told the Court that while he was in state court jail, his mother was killed in 2003. He bonded out of jail in January of 2004, and he was shot at by unknown individuals while he was out on bond. The federal offense was in March of 2004. At the sentencing hearing, he told the judge that he was in fear of his life and scared for his life. He additionally told the Court that he did move his family away. He told the Court that he didn't know what the other people were going to do to him, or when they were going to do to him, or how they were going to do it.
Mr. Soledad, I mean, the real question for us, though, is based on this record as a whole, did the District Court choose an unreasonable sentence when all was said and done, within the guidelines, outside the guidelines, or any other way you want to look at it? And the judge is certainly aware of this history. He thinks that the unfortunate death of his mother and these other things are too far in the past. Mr. Burks, after all, had his own record of being violent, as the state court conviction illustrated. I don't think we require the district judge not to remember that at the time he's sentencing. How can we say this is an unreasonable sentence?
Well, my client thinks it's unreasonable.
Well, I'm sure he does. Client and every other person who appeals here, but we need a little bit more than that to write in an opinion.
Sure. Right. And I guess the distinguishing factor, he thinks that he should have received, it's unreasonable in the fact that he didn't receive some sort of reduction for derision and caress. Totally got them mixed up there, but
it's a flutter by. No, yeah. Coercion and duress.
Yes, thank you. Because he thought that he was in imminent danger at the time, and because he possessed the ammunition, the difficult position that I have in this case is he never wanted to admit he possessed the gun at any point in time, but he did have the ammunition and the bulletproof vest on. And his claim was those were additional facts, that wearing the vest shows that he was under duress and coercion to possess the ammunition, which logically, at least to me, would mean he'd have to have a gun for the ammunition to protect himself. His thoughts were that the sentence was too high, that he possessed the ammunition. The reason that he committed the crime that he received the sentence for was because of the duress and coercion that he felt from the threats that he had received, the facts as he lived through them in 2004. And that's why he believes that the sentence was unreasonable. And I think that's really all the points that I have to make in this case, unfortunately. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lanter.
May it please the Court, Counsel. It's the government's position that the district court did sentence Mr. Burks to a reasonable sentence of 84 months. First of all, it was a minimum of the guideline range. Second, it was a sentence to run concurrent to Mr. Burks' recently imposed 76-year state court sentence for two separate attempted murder convictions.
If I were you, I'd pause.
I was going to say, I wonder if the district judge thought one of the reasons Mr. Burks might have been feeling vulnerable had something to do with the conduct for which he got the 79 years.
Well, the district court indicated that the facts and circumstances of this offense, it was not reasonable for Mr. Burks to make a duress and coercion argument. In this case, a police officer observes Mr. Burks to be speeding approximately 15 miles over the speed limit, then observes Mr. Burks throw a firearm from a vehicle. He's also at that time driving a vehicle that has license plates that belong on a different vehicle. And instead of pulling over and telling the police, I'm in fear for my life, this is why I have this firearm, this is why I have this ammunition, this is why I have this bulletproof vest, Mr. Burks tries to get rid of the firearm, which turns out to be a stolen firearm, and tries to elude the police.
Didn't try to get rid of the vest, though, did he?
He did not try to get rid of the vest, Your Honor. And that was one of the district court's reasons for not giving a downward departure in the context of the reasonableness of the sentence. Another reason that the district court mentioned was that the time frame of the last threats to Mr. Burks of approximately 2 months earlier were not sufficiently recent for Mr. Burks to be running around with a firearm or tossing it out of a vehicle while he's trying to elude the police 2 months later. Also, there was no evidence presented that Mr. Burks had gone to the police earlier and exhausted his remedies with the police.
Mr. Burks didn't like policemen.
Well,
an understandable position.
Given his criminal history, I could see why Mr. Burks might not have felt the police could help.
Weren't his friends.
Mr. Burks also presented no evidence that he could have left town or moved away from Gary, Indiana. One of his main arguments was that Gary, because of the press and the community was poisoned against him, and he presented no evidence that he could have just simply moved away.
I take it there had actually been news coverage of Mr. Burks' activities?
I believe that there were newspaper accounts. What happened is Mr. Burks was charged with a couple of attempted murders. He was able to bond out.
Is there some retirement community for murderers? Where do you move to that likes murderers?
Well, he could have moved away from Gary, Indiana, if he felt that threatened.
Well, I suppose he really wanted to, but there you go.
After a couple of the attempted murders, he bonds out. One of the witnesses in that attempted murder is killed. Mr. Burks is then charged with attempted murder of two other individuals and bonds out again.
He's a busy man all the way around.
That's correct, Your Honor. So there was some press coverage, but again, it's the government's position that Mr. Burks, given the facts of this case, a more reasonable response if he actually felt under duress would have been to pull over as soon as he saw the police and explain to them, I'm in fear for my life, instead of taking the action that he did. Unless there are no other questions, the government stands on its brief with regard to the other issue and would ask that the sentence and conviction be affirmed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Lander. Anything further, Mr. Soliday?
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Soliday, thank you very much for accepting the appointment. We appreciate the assistance you've been both to your client and the court.